Let us pray. The words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock of Israel.
Amen.
John chapter 14 is a continuation of Christ's farewell discourse with his disciples after supper, which we find in the previous chapter, and that is 13. Just prior to Jesus saying these words, "Do not let your heart be troubled," he shared three things with his disciples. He says that he will be going away and they could not come. Second, he told them one of them was a traitor. He convicted and discarded Judas. And third, he told them Peter would deny him three times. These words were a lot to take in, and we can imagine how the disciples were disheartened. They were troubled by the fact that Jesus was going away. Now he sets himself to comfort them. In the first part of verse 1, just a few hours before Jesus goes to the cross, he issues a difficult command to his disciples. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. This phrase can be translated, stop being troubled. Many times in life, we are troubled. We worry about many things. I am sure if we sit down and make a list, it will be a big one, a very big one, at least for me. But as a church, we are in a similar state. Our beloved chaplain Ricky has retired, and we are in the interregnum phase. Are we troubled? I think so. Yes. If we are, then when we look at the next part of the same verse, we find the cure. Jesus says, believe in God and believe also in me. This shows that Jesus was claiming equality with God. By these words, he made them realize that as God, he is omnipresent and is not limited by time and space. This morning we have also read from the book of Acts, chapter 7, where Luke tells us the story of first Christian martyr, Stephen. Stephen's vision of the resurrected and exalted Christ confirms that our Lord is not limited or confined to a particular place or to a particular time. Jesus' words, believe in God, believe also in me, and the sacrifice of Stephen encouraged us to trust in the Lord no matter what. Though the sacrifice of Stephen shows us that there are times when we go through hardships and trials while following the footprints of our Lord. But it reminds me of a joke I received a few days back from one of my friends. And I would like to share it with you. And it says, St. Paul appeared to a tele-evangelist in a dream, saying, "Oh man of God, you are preaching prosperity gospel from my epistle to Ephesians. You know, when I wrote that epistle, I was in prison." This leads to the second point, that to persevere in present suffering with hope. Here in John 14, verse 6, Jesus makes an exclusive claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way for man to enter into God's kingdom is the Lord himself. Christ is the reality of the divine things. Jesus is the life that is given to us by virtue of our access to God. Put simply, Jesus is the only way a person can have a relationship with God and spend eternity in heaven. But we find that both Thomas and Philip continue to be troubled. But Thomas said to Jesus, "We do not know. We do not know where you are going. We don't know how to stay on the way or even find the trailhead." Thomas and Philip were both puzzled about how to follow, how to spot the trail when they did not know where Jesus was going or what the Father looked like. This anxiety about being left alone was clouding their vision, their perception, and their heart. Jesus moved away from talk about going away and returning, to again saying them to trust, and that he and the Father are one. To see Jesus is to see the Father. And they had seen Jesus' face, heard his voice, and even more importantly, had seen what he did. That should have been enough to know the Father. We can imagine Thomas, Philip, and others with them thinking back over the words Jesus did. What did they say about Jesus, about the Father? Water to wine, lashes to life, feeding 5,000, healings, works that bring healing, delight, abundance, life itself. These would be the works of God, Father and Son. There were so many works of provisioning that they simply ignored and said, "Show us the Father." Thirdly, we need to keep our eyes on the future glory that God has promised us. Today, if our hearts are troubled and we are feeling confused, concerned, and overwhelmed about certain things, but the reality of our heavenly home can help us guard our heart from trouble. No matter how badly things may be going in our life today, Jesus has promised us a glorious eternity. In 1 Peter 2, the text we read this morning, Peter encourages us to grow by feeding on the milk of the Word of God and asking us if we indeed we have tested that our Lord is good. There is no doubt that for those who persist in God's way, suffering awaits. But we should always remember that Jesus promises his assistance, his support, and his power. No one knew this better than John Wesley, who said, "I am no longer I am no longer my own, but thou. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee and laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee and brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal." In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.